go to Colossians. I want to spend some more time on verse 21, starting verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, or in him, as really should say, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Let's go to Titus. We'll talk about this, enemies in your mind, being reconciled, and what that means. Titus is the last T before Hebrews. It's the big T's, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Pardon? There's only one Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. It's an incredible statement. Now, again, going back, stay there, but I'm going to read what we just read in Colossians. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath he reconciled. And here, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. What is the good work? Believing on him who he has sent. They're reprobate because they know not that Jesus Christ is in them. And so they still are walking with the results of having eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Babylon has one common denominator. And that is that they believe that the tree had only the fruit of evil. So they try not to be evil, but even in that they're reprobate, because the purpose of the law is to shut up their mouth, and yet their mouth isn't shut up. But think of it. To the pure, all things are pure. That means by looking at life, you see nothing but him, because he alone is pure. Does this bother anybody? But is it? Do you live that? Again, here, if you, the best way that I know of, for me anyway, to picture this, because I used to try to pan gold all the time and find gold in the desert. And around where I grew up in Arizona, gold was these little nuggets and pieces of gold were in sort of these opaque crystal rocks. As long as my mindset, if you can conceive of this, as long as my mindset and my identity was the rock or the quartz, then everything that happened was really bad, except when the bad stuff stopped. If my mindset was the gold, that was my identity, then all of the crushing and beating and acid and everything that was going on with the courts, I only saw the gold. And the same is true with you and I. As long as our mindset, as long as we've examined ourselves, as long as we've proven that we're in the faith, then we know that Jesus Christ is in us. And we know that it's only by, if the captain of our salvation was perfected through suffering, can you think you should be in any other position? But if my mindset is the courts, and I believe the courts is the plan of God, then I will come up with all kinds of harebrained theologies to justify polishing the courts, fixing the courts, making it pretty, having quartz crystals. Does everybody see that?
And then you never know or understand the gold or see it. It never comes to light. It's discovered.
That's funny because the focus is just it's that far off. It's, I mean, it's court, you're looking at the quartz or the gold.
And the same is true. As long as I, as a piece of quartz, did not abandon myself and give no thought to the courts, then I would walk in constant deception and I would be subject to the manipulations of anyone that wanted to manipulate me. I would believe that as long as I am this, I believe all these promises. I've got a guy he's a quartz deliverance ministry. So he's going to fix the courts. Another one is a healer. He's going to heal the courts.
All the good, evil, and evil good. All these courts. Put it on display. Lots of good courts.
You have this firmly settled in your mind. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto the gold, everything is necessary.
I like the courts thing because it's like courts has sort of a
kind of pretty.
It's kind of nice to look at itself, you know, but it's not worth it. Though.
Right.
It's like, it's all over the place.
It's better.
Nobody wants it.
Better than the pecan.
All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. starting in verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Know you not that the court shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkens, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of light. Now, what is an extortioner? It's simply one who tries to use you for his personal gain, whether it's spiritual or monetary or any.
Manipulator?
He manipulates you for his personal gain. He's always never going to say that. He's saying, get an email, you're going to get $10 million. Come and hear me speak, you're going to get whatever. Come and hear me speak, you're going to get died.
Or if you don't, then there's bad things. That's the extortion. It's like the threat of something.
The implied threat that you give all your money, give $1,000, give $10,000. I watched about 3 minutes. This morning is the miracle day for Benny Hinn. Steve Muncy, 60 days ago, prophesied that if Benny Hinn would build an altar.
Of course, it wasn't a live show today, right? So what does he get for doing this?
Then God was going to really
pour out the blessing.
Pour out the blessing. And the people that gave to Benny, the friends of Benny were going to get all everything that Satan, and they're using the same scriptures that Tilton did about Eliphaz's in the book of Job.
Yes, two lists, friends of Benny and enemies of Benny.
Yeah. But he uses that, you know, decree a thing. Make a vow, pay it, decree a thing, and it shall be done for you. That's what the evil counselors said, and that's where God said of them that these were not right, as my servant Job. But yet, this morning, that's what, on Benny's show, that's what decree a thing. If you pay your vow, if you pay this $77, a double portion, or whatever God laid in your heart, and if you've paid that on this day, because this is the special day that Benny built an altar. It's just extortion beyond extortion.
They really believe that.
Muncie doesn't, but Muncie's just a con man. Yeah, Harry believed
it. I sure as hell did.
All right.
This is really, for me, ties to conscience perfectly. I think that's where a lot of this crap comes from, which is conscience having a feel better.
And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now this is the other thing. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's the same idea. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Again, you've got to hear this. It depends on whether your identity is the quartz or the gold. Now let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Reread. And you that were, in verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. If you are still in your mind, if you are still those that don't see that unto the pure all things are pure, then you're still an enemy of God. Is that clear? Is that tautological, axiomatic, and whatever else? That you were sometime alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So it doesn't matter what goes on. Again, my identity is the goal, the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's my only identity. That's my only life. That for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Everything else is gone. Now, is that true for you?
This just brings up the pillars and the growth, because they're all there trying to convict you of your sin.
Well, they're simply there trying to cause you to put your eyes on yourself in any way. Yeah. All right, everybody understand how this is the instead of Christ. This mind is the mortal enemy of God. Your conscience is the mortal enemy of God. Let's go to Hebrews 9, just to make sure you understand it.
And there goes along with what we read a minute ago in Titus.
Yeah, to the pure, all things are pure.
The devil looks like a cricket that comes in.
Well, your conscience is trying to get you to change, I think. I mean, he says something about it's not really trying to convict you of sin, because the Holy Spirit does that.
Yeah.
That's all tied in with repentance.
All right.
Well,
the conscience is trying to make you. That's its main purpose, because it's the right arm of the mind. But its main purpose is to continually accuse you.
Yeah, it's the false Holy Spirit in a way.
It's the accuser. All right.
Where did we go?
Hebrews 9. Verse 13, for if the blood of bull, the all of 9 was about the various offerings that were sin, etc. And so, and then it summarizes here in verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God? To purge means to empty. You got it? Now let's go to Hebrews 10. And here's the problem that we're facing. Let's understand this real carefully. Verse 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Now the same is true internally in you. Since part of your mind is still at work with the good and evil, what happens then is that you something transpires. Something, you get a good idea. That's mostly the one that gets you. Or something makes you feel guilty. And instantly, you feel like you've got to go make another offering of some kind. Just like they did. Every time, you know, it wasn't just that the great pilgrimage piece that the blood of the bulls of the goats was offered. It was offered numerous times during each day. Well, unfortunately, many people are just like they were in the Old Testament. They have to continually make different offerings. It's just a never-ending phenomenon. Can you hear me? Let's go to Hebrews 6. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. Now, isn't it time that we left the principles of the doctrine of Christ? The only way you can leave the principles of the doctrine is to understand that for you to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And once you've understood that, then you can leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, because he is your very life. He is your very truth. He is the very way. How much time do you still take in trying to put together disparate things to make things connect? Am I communicating? I promise you something. If you can hear me, if you can see and hear that by faith Christ is all and in all, then you will stop needing to try to put disparate things together to try to prove to yourself that he's all and in all. Because you will never prove to yourself he's all and in all, because you're using the tools of the curse to try to find the revelation of Christ. The scriptures say over and over and over again that it's finished, that by one offering you've been perfected, that Christ is all and in all, that you believe no counselor, no spirit, anything that denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So the purpose then is to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and start living, letting Him live His own life without your help, without your consideration, without your approval. Now to do that, everything that we've talked about, there will be prophesying. There will be. Life will become automatic instead of you'll be instead of trying to be. That's the meaning of freedom. As long as you're trying to be, then you're working it. And as long as you're working it, then the grace is going to be reckoned as debt. And that's why you go up and down, up and down, up and down. You don't have to, again, you don't have to go back and rebuild the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You don't have to worry about baptisms and laying out of hands and repentance and faith toward God. And those are all the things that brought you to the fullness of the faith of Christ. Now, stay there. You don't have to return to the kingdom of darkness anymore. You don't have to return to the kingdom of you know, judging good and evil in your mind. Or should have this, or shouldn't have that. You accept all things as from the hand of God. And it becomes mind-blowingly foreign to you to think that any condition, any moment that you're in should be different. Now, that's your inheritance. That's available right now, today. That all you have to do is be. But you can't think about being, because once you think about being, then you're not being.
Each one of these points that they talk about and stuff of the past, to go back to them is to say that they didn't work the first time. Let's try it again, which means you're trying to remake yourself.
30 years ago, almost, we spent months on the 6 first principles of Christ. I pray that we've got it. They're all summarized in, for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer faith in, now faith of. Massive difference. I've gone beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. I've left them behind because I don't have to continue to resurrect the courts. I don't have to worry about what the courts looks like. My identity is totally connected with the goal, which is Christ. Amen? I don't feel like talking anymore. Somebody else talk. Anybody have any response?
When you're talking about attempting to put disparate things together, I was picturing a football coach and then explaining a play up on the board, and then like the players, all of a sudden everybody going, "I don't get it. Why? What would that mean?"
Why are we doing that?
Or the whole idea, that's why I make so much fun of people that are learning the principles of, new principles of God, how to be nice, or how to have a happy marriage, how to do anything. It's just asinine. It just denies Him. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
I already missed Pete.
So today's the big miracle day with the big show of the miracle day, but it's not live.
I don't know.
It's a taped miracle.
All righty. Take it, big guy.